Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It is 5 minutes past the hour. Thanks for waking up early in the morning. We begin a very relevant program with a very important guest. The program is Deborah Heart and Lung Center's Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. It's a program that I've had the privilege to host for almost 30 years between television and now the past 25 plus years, the radio edition of the program. And every month, an incredible doctor from Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And I can promise you that today's guest, Dr. Joseph Kostick, a distinguished cardiothoracic surgeon, is no exception. And the topic is extremely important, lung cancer detection, because we all, us mere mortals, we hear all the time about how this is just so, the symptoms don't present until so late that it's usually late stage, unless you get lucky and some image that you were getting of maybe your belly showed a nodule or something, and it's like, hey, look at this, we better go check this out. That's how you luck out in some instances. But we have a lot to talk about with Dr. Kostick. And let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. Joseph Kostick. I mentioned a cardiothoracic surgeon who is board certified in general surgery and thoracic and cardiac surgery. Dr. Kostick earned his medical degree at New York College of Osteopathic Medicine. After medical school, he completed a residency in general surgery at Michigan Osteopathic Medical Center. He also completed a fellowship in cardiothoracic surgery at Deborah Heart and Lung Center in Browns Mills, New Jersey. Dr. Kostick's special interests include cardiothoracic surgery, minimally invasive thoracic surgery. He has authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed medical journals, and it is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Joseph Kostick to his program. Doctor, welcome, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Harry. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, this is great to have you here, and let's get right into it. What is lung cancer?
You know, cancer in general refers to a disease that is characterized by the development of abnormal cells that just grow uncontrollably. And unfortunately, these cells have the ability to both infiltrate and destroy normal body tissue as well as spread to other parts of the body. And when this process occurs in the lung, that's when it's referred to as lung cancer.
I mentioned, I know we'll probably get into it later in the half hour, but I mentioned that this is one of those dreaded cancers that, tell me if I'm right or wrong, but it seems that what I've learned about it is, and I'm the son of two parents who died of lung cancer, this is something that usually we don't find out until we're very late stage. Is that true, and is it still true?
Your promo is absolutely correct, and you are correct on all those facts. One of the problems with lung cancer is that we can't feel or see the spot because our lungs are protected by our rib cage and the muscles overlying the chest. So you are absolutely right. Oftentimes, we will get an x-ray for something else and then identify the spot in the lung. And unfortunately, symptoms often don't present until very late in the disease. So you're 100% correct in that oftentimes we don't get it until it's advanced.
So what is your best? I mean, obviously, if it's heredity, it's in your family, you could be more proactive about it. But how would anybody that is totally symptom-free, going about life, feeling great, why would they wouldn't just go say, you know what, I got to call Dr. Kostick. I got to go get this 3D multi-slice image done. How would you find this unless you got lucky?
And that's part of the problem for those of us who take care of lung cancer is we kind of have to be a little proactive in looking for the right people to be screening. Currently, right now, the American Cancer Society is recommending that anyone who is in the age of 55 to 74 with a significant smoking history, now we label these as pack years, so that's one pack a day for a year. So if you've got a 30-pack year smoking history, who are either smoking or who have quit within the last 15 years, are the highest risk group and should be screened.
Very important information. We're visiting with the distinguished Dr. Joseph Kostick. The program is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and today's topic is lung cancer detection. What are the different types of lung cancer, doctor?
Generally, there's two broad categories, and it depends on the type of cells that are present. The first one is non-small cell carcinoma, and that one spreads rather rapidly. And then there's another broad category called non-small cell cancer, and this is broken down into squamous cell cancer, which is the most common one, and the two others are adenocarcinoma and large cell carcinoma, and each have their own characteristics as far as growth and spreading.
What are the symptoms of lung cancer?
As we mentioned earlier, there are oftentimes very few signs or symptoms we can attribute to this disease until the mass becomes somewhat large in size or spreads. But when people do have symptoms, the more common ones are persistent cough, shortness of breath when you haven't had any troubles before, chest pain, or blood in your sputum. It can be a very common sign of lung cancer.
What are the risk factors of lung cancer?
You know, when we look at what we refer to as the epidemiology, the factors that cause something, when we look at lung cancer, believe it or not, these are primarily environmental in nature. Things like smoking, radon from the ground, asbestos, radioactive ores, and believe it or not, even the radiation from the x-rays that we're currently doing on our patients today, if done over and over again, can lead to cancer.
Wow. So the cure is worse than the disease, although that's probably not a fair or appropriate comment. So you have to be judicious, though, because if you did too much screening to try to see if you have something, that could cause you to have it, and you wouldn't have had it if you didn't do all that.
That is true. We have to be smart in who we target, and we've then identified a CT scan that actually gives us a little bit lower radiation called a low-dose CT scan.
I was very young, a young teenager, when my mom passed away. It was horrible, as you can imagine, and you do this all the time with families and such. And then it was about 4 or 5 years later, and my father passed away of the same thing. So I was a little bit older when my father passed away. I was a young adult, and I remember the treatment was terrible, and he didn't find out until very, very late, all the things that you're talking about during the interview. How, and in his case, back in 1981, he passed away in 81, so it would have been like 80 to 81. They didn't have these images. You could do lung x-ray. And again, I don't play a doctor on the radio, and I'm not a doctor, but obviously I've learned a lot about it with 30 years with you. And paying a lot of attention to this because of my interest of it for obvious reasons. And I remember in my father's case, there had been x-rays done at one point that showed perfect x-ray. This stuff back in that day, they were really handcuffed because there was cancer in some people, but it didn't show up, right?
Absolutely true.
So that's a challenge. So that we are advanced now today because we can now see things that we couldn't see then, which gets me to the question after a long narrative there. How is lung cancer diagnosed?
You know, primarily we are leaning on chest x-ray, but you brought up an excellent point that it's not as sensitive as we'd like it to be. So low-dose CAT scan seems to be the correct way, and we can find things millimeters in size now. We've gotten that good with these scans.
What do you do if you see a tiny nodule and it's not cancer? It's just maybe a tiny nodule. Do you monitor that over a period of time? What do you do about that?
And this has really become a diagnostic dilemma for those of us who take care of these lung nodules. As you mentioned earlier in the show, people often go into emergency rooms and get CAT scans for other reasons. And unfortunately, that can open up Pandora's box for us. We now see every little nodule, every little bump. So what we do is we do take into account the patient's history. Do they have a significant risk factor for lung cancer, maybe a family history? Some we tend to just observe and follow up with CAT scans at regular intervals and make sure that they don't grow in size. We know that cancer will grow over time. And others we tend to get more aggressive on and lead to either a biopsy or surgical removal.
And explain how the low-dose CT scan is performed and who meets the criteria.
Absolutely. So a low-dose CAT scan, a CAT scanner in general, is an x-ray that slices you up like a loaf of bread and we can look at all the individual slices, both from the crust all the way down to the center of the slice. And then we can also use computer technology to actually 3D reconstruct what we're seeing. So it gives us a much better interpretation of what the older scans used to give us. When we follow the American Heart Association criteria, if we can scan those people age 55 to 74 with a significant smoking history, we can probably reduce the mortality of lung cancer by 20% if we screen those people.
Let me ask you a question, because you and I are contemporaries. We're baby boomers, so we're the children of World War II era heroes. And they had doctors in that era that would wear white lab coats, and they would be probably getting paid to do ads for Chesterfield, and they would say smoking is good for digestion. And I don't blame my parents for smoking. They didn't know. Every movie in that era was a drink in one hand and a cigarette in the other. A woman blew smoke in the face of a man, and it was wobbly knees. It was sexy and amazing. So it was glamorized. We find out, though, with a multi-pack habit a day for 30-plus years, that endocarcinoma of the lung takes both my parents. From a heredity standpoint, and I'm not saying this just selfishly, because I've been very proactive, and I've been through Deborah in this regard, and I've been very pleased with everything that I have received from your great teams there. But heredity in some forms is just that. You would stand a chance of getting it because you share, you know, the genes and so on and so forth. But if you don't smoke a cigarette any day of your life, and if it's the smoking that caused the lung cancer, how is lung cancer causation in terms of heredity even known, if I'm indeed correct in my narrative here, that I believe that smoking cigarettes gave my parents a deadly form of cancer, and that I don't believe they would have had it if they didn't smoke pack after pack, day after day, year after year. So is it really heredity, or is it the vice of smoking?
Well, you know, we know that according to the CDC, between 80 and 90% of all lung cancer cases are directly associated with smoking. So that's a significant number in the vast majority of the cases. I'm also guessing that yourself, like myself, had some secondhand smoke when we were growing up. Dad always had a cigarette someplace along the way.
True.
And that we know when a non-smoker is exposed to secondhand smoke, their risk of developing lung cancer in the future is increased by 20 to 30%.
There you go.
So that doesn't help us either. And then you bring up a very good point about hereditary. There are some of us who just have the genes that sometime in our future we will develop cancer. We see that more commonly with colon cancer, but it still is prevalent with lung cancer as well. So it's a difficult thing to parse out on exactly the etiology, but hereditary influences do play a role in this disease.
We take only one break during Deborah Heart Lung Center Presents, and we're going to do it right now. If you have a question for Dr. Kostic, you can tell he is listenable and awesome. It needs to be on the topic of lung cancer detection. That's all we ask. 609-407-1450. Phone lines are open. 609-407-1450. A reminder to schedule an appointment at Deborah Heart Lung Center. It's so easy to do. The easiest way is through any digital device, and most people are doing so much from their smartphones that you're not even on the desktop or the laptop as much as you used to be. Just go to demanddeborah.org, and when you go to the website, you'll see a hyperlink prompt to appointments, and you can do it right from there. So simple to do. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Joseph Kostic, cardiothoracic surgeon at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. Again, our topic this half hour is lung cancer detection. A reminder, this program is available on demand from the WPG Talk Radio smartphone app. Second button is podcasts, and this is available on demand at any time that you'd want to listen to Dr. Kostic talk about this important topic, lung cancer detection.
Early in the morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and WPGTalkRadio.com.
Talk.
From the world's playground. This is Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
What an honor and a privilege to present the distinguished Dr. Joseph Kostick from Deborah Heart and Lung Center, cardiothoracic surgeon, just extraordinary at what he does. And we are so blessed that right here in our region that we have such incredible talent at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And this is a program that we know because we've heard it from you, our valued listeners, that has saved lives, that have sent people in for the very topics that we're speaking about because people have heard the doctors present and then they realize, hey, wait a minute, that's me. That's me he's talking to. So today I know it will be no exception. And just don't hesitate. If you hear something that you say, wow, this can't be a coincidence. I mean, I'm listening to these things and it's what I'm going through. Go to demanddeborah.org. Certainly you can call as well. 609. I'll give you the number in just a little bit because if you want to call rather than do the online scheduling, 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080. Now, Dr. Kostick, we're going to go to your callers because we always invite them starting from the second segment on at 609-407-1450. And we just ask that the callers keep it on the topic of lung cancer. And today we're talking specifically lung cancer detection. Your question for the doctor. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I do. Good morning.
Yeah.
I just, it might sound weird, but why doesn't cancer hit the heart? I often wondered about that. We have, unfortunately, cancer of the liver, cancer of many organs, but we never hear that it hits the heart.
That's a fantastic question and a very good observation. It does, but not nearly as often as some of the other organs of the body. In fact, cardiac cancer, heart cancer, is quite a rare entity, but it does exist.
Okay.
We do see it occasionally.
You know, thank you for the call. I never heard that question posed before. And I have to confess.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I've never actually heard of cancer of the heart. So you're saying in rare, very rare instances, there is cancer of the heart?
That is correct. The heart is mostly a muscle in its origin, and there are selected tumors that grow in the heart muscle that we do rarely see, but we do see.
All right, so to the gentle lady, you violated the rules. I was very, very graphic about on lung cancer, but great question. 609-407-1450 if you have a question about lung cancer or lung cancer detection. So the causation, I know it's come up because you've been just awesome with your content, Dr. Kostick, but explain the link between lung cancer and the smoking, because I think you mentioned earlier whether it was 80% or 80 to 90% of lung cancers are because of smoking, whether it would be a smoker or, and we're going to get into this a little bit later, or the secondhand risk. I've even been hearing now about third hand, and that blew my mind. I thought my head was going to spontaneously combust when I heard about third hand because it's like Spock playing three-dimensional chess with Kirk. I couldn't wrap my head around the third dimension there. But in terms of causation, lung cancer and smoking, that's the big kahuna, right? The smoking is the biggest thing. Your thoughts?
Lung cancer, lung cancer from causation from smoking is probably because cigarette smoke contains a very toxic mix of many chemicals, with at least 70 of them being classified as carcinogenic. That is to say, they cause cancer. And when lung tissue is exposed to these and the other chemicals in cigarette smoke, the cells of the lung become affected in several different ways. There can be direct damage to the DNA component of the cell. There can be a severe inflammatory reaction, and we know that chronic repeated inflammation causes abnormal cells to occur. And then it probably also impairs the body's own immune function, its own ability to take care of these abnormal cells and control the situation on its own. So for those factors, we know that, and you're right, between 80 and 90% of all lung cancer has been linked to smoking, either primary or secondhand smoking.
So if you don't smoke in the first place, you really Now, of course, you sometimes your job or just life, you get around, or people you know, maybe people you love even, you get around the secondhand smoke. We're going to get into that in just a moment, but let's go back to the calls for Dr. Kostic. Welcome to DeBora Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Kostic, your question.
Good morning, doctor. My question's about, I don't know if you know much about his case, but it would be Rush Limbaugh. Ooh. I mean, I hear he has a terminal cancer, but is there any hope for him at this point, do you know?
You know, that all depends on, as we mentioned earlier, what we call the stage, meaning is it a very local stage or advanced spread? I understand that Rush's is somewhat advanced. And it also depends, as we mentioned earlier, on the type of lung cancer, the cell type. All those things come into play, as well as your overall medical health. So I'm sure the doctors are working very hard. Treatment can be somewhat variable. We are making great strides, and there are some newer drugs available on the market. So I hope he'll have a favorable outcome.
And I would only add, only because he just revealed this within the past week, he was having great results from treatment. And obviously, I mean, he's worth like $500 million. He can try anything that he's allowed to try. They did everything that they could, and he has resigned himself to the fact that he has very little time left. His was not even discovered until stage 4, and he's actually he was very surprised that he was still here. He made a big goal to be here alive and as vital as he could be on Election Day, and that was in doubt for quite a while. Rush himself has said that his doctors have told him he has a very limited time left. That's the sad reality to that. Thanks for the call. 609-407-1450, an open phone line. How big a deal? I want to say this is controversial, but it's not with me. Because come on already, if smoke is in the air and you're breathing it in, even if you are not concentrating like the smoker, breathing it deeply in and holding it, I've always been a believer, even when a lot of people called it nonsense and laughed at it, that secondhand smoke can't be good. So what are your thoughts about secondhand smoking and your risk of getting lung cancer?
You know, we've examined that, and when we see that a non-smoker is exposed to secondhand smoke, the risk of developing lung cancer is increased by about 20 to 30% over those who don't smoke. And unfortunately, this is going to account for about 7,000 lung cancer deaths a year. So it still is a significant number of people who otherwise would not have been in this situation had they not been exposed to secondhand smoke.
This is a very important question during your program, Dr. Kostic. Stage 4 came up because the caller mentioned late stage, and you mentioned late stage with Rush. Can you explain the stages of lung cancer?
Sure. Stage 1, and a lot of the cancers are broken up into stages, and they're all somewhat similar. For lung cancer, stage 1 is the tumor is mainly just associated with the lung itself. It is not spread out of the lung or to the lymph nodes. Stage 2, a little more advanced. It is now in the lymph nodes that are locally associated with the lung. Stage 3, either the tumor's got a bit bigger in size or it's advanced to the lymph nodes outside of the lung. And of course, as with most cancers, stage 4, it's either spread to both lungs, the area surrounding the lungs, or to some distant organ.
Do you see people with stage 4 ever get cured?
You know, we've gotten better. It is a long shot. There is no doubt about it. The 5-year survival rate for somebody with stage 4 lung cancer still hovers around 3 to 5%.
Wow.
So it's a devastating disease.
Yeah, and a devastating diagnosis if you were to hear that. Let's go to opposite end of the spectrum. Stage 1. Me as a layperson, if I hear stage 1, I'm thinking, hey, I hit the lottery. I don't want to have it, but you got it early. I should be able to be cured if you get it at stage 1, correct?
True, but unfortunately. Lung cancer survival, still with stage 1 cancer, there is a 70 to 80% chance of a 10-year survival. So even though we're able to find it early, we still have trouble controlling the disease long term.
Gotcha. But if you got it early, you would have a good prospect of additional longevity.
A much better prognosis.
So that takes me to, can lung cancer be cured? And what if so, what is the recovery process like?
You know, the key factors are what type of cancer it is and what stage it is. But although the diagnosis of any type of cancer, in particular lung cancer, can be devastating, it's by no means a death sentence. You know, we are continuing to make strides in the treatment of the disease. We now have many treatment options available for us, including surgery, traditional chemotherapy and radiation, newer form of radiation called CyberKnife therapy. And there are especially two new promising areas. They're new drugs. One of them is called immunotherapy, where we have drugs that allow our own immune system to help fight the cancer cells. And then targeted cell therapies, in which the drugs are actually tailored to attack specific genes and proteins on the cancer, and this spares some of the normal tissue. And that was always one of the side effects of traditional chemotherapy. So recovery from each of these certainly depends on which therapy you get and what stage your cancer is.
Dr. Kosick, I know we're running out of time in the next minute or so. Can we prevent lung cancer?
You know, we mentioned a couple of things already. If you do not smoke, please do not start. And if you do smoke, make every effort to stop. As I speak to my patients here at Deborah, we know it's not easy. We know it's an addiction, and there are plenty of tools out there to help us fight that addiction. Avoiding secondhand smoke also becomes important and for us to understand. You know, radon gas can be from geological formations, especially in the southeastern Pennsylvania area. So many of your local improvement stores have radon tests that you can check in your basement. And then, as a general good rule of thumb, exercise and a healthy diet will not only lower your risk of some forms of cancer, but also heart disease and diabetes, so you never have to come see me at Deborah.
Dr. Kosick, final question. Say someone listening right now has been treated and everything appears to have gone very, very well. How regularly should you see your doctor after being treated?
You know, the goal for this follow-up is to check for recurrence or that the cancer has come back. There's many different strategies for this, but the most commonly one used and the one we use here at Deborah is CAT scans every 6 months for the first 2 years, and then after that we broaden them out to every year until we have a comfortable margin of 5 to 10 years, and then we can start to relax a little bit about the disease.
And each one of these, is this imaging with contrast?
Without contrast is just fine for us because we just need to see the tissue of the lung, and that's our first starting point.
You already know this, but you are awesome. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Joseph Kosick.
It was great to be on with the Voice of South Jersey.
You're the best. Thank you, sir. Thank you so very much.